The Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, is recorded in the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you all from God, our Heavenly Father, and from his dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message is really based on the second lesson, which is out of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and then also the gospel lesson, which we call the Beatitudes, based in the Gospel of Matthew. But for right now, I'd like to share with you portions of scripture found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now remember, when you're looking at the Corinthians, there are two letters. Paul takes Corinthians 1 and describes to the people of Corinth what the problem is. He shares with them the malady, the things that are wrong that we need to correct, that we need to ask God to give us assistance in changing our lives. In the second letter to the Corinthians, he comes back to them and says, you did a pretty good job. And these are the things that I'm proud of you for correcting yourself. Again, not looking to yourself, but again, by the correction that God himself shares with you to do when you face issues, problems, and concerns. In this section of Paul's first letter, he talks about words like, God, through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. Are called both Jews and Greeks. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For many were powerful, not many of noble birth, but God chose that what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even though they are not to bring to nothing things that are so that is not, no human being might boast in the presence of God. Let the one who boasts always boast in the Lord. Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and merciful God, you are truly our Lord and Savior, and have come into the world not only to redeem the world, but to teach us and to draw upon the power through your Son and the Holy Spirit to continue to lead and guide us in the way that we are to go. Continue to answer our prayers, to show us to put our hope and faith not in ourselves or in men and governments and principalities, but always in your word and in your power. Bless us, Lord, always to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. One of the most difficult times for a preacher or for a pastor is the season from Christmas to Epiphany. It's a time in which we face not only in the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but the recognition of what does that mean for our lives. It's a time in which we go through many different things and emotions. Prior to Christmas, we are busily trying to get our houses together. There were certain rituals in my home with my parents that before Christmas, and usually it was up to Christmas Eve, there were certain duties that we had to do. One was to put up the Christmas tree. Another was to take down the sheer curtains and to put up the drapes to make sure that we are ready to welcome whatever company that may be coming. Another thing was there was a lot of cooking going on. Things such as Christmas cookies, and which there were never enough of. I have to share with you a story. My mother loved to give them as gifts, particularly to people who really didn't have much family, and to bring a little Christmas joy in their houses. They couldn't bake or cook like they did in younger years, so she would make a few dozen cookies and put them in Christmas cans and send my brother and I to their homes to deliver these gifts. Well, one particular person who lived nearby, maybe two blocks, and the cookies that my mom sent to her were one of my favorites. Now, there were certain Christmas cookies that I could take or leave. But these Christmas cookies were always her best. And as I'm walking these two dozen cookies to her, the smell got to me. And I said, well, she's not going to miss one little cookie. So I opened the can and reached out and took the cookie. And as I'm still walking, I began to think to myself, oh, this is a great cookie. And then I continue my journey, and I continue to think how great that cookie was. And as I am walking further, I said, well, what's two cookies? She's by herself. She ain't gonna miss two cookies. Kept walking. Well, as I kept walking, I began to decide, well, what's one more cookie? Anyway, by the time I got to her house and gave her, say, this is from my mom to you, Merry Christmas. And I said, I know she's gonna really appreciate those cookies. Well, by the time I got home, this particular woman had been on the phone with my mother. She was very thankful for the thought. of sending her a can of cookies. And she said how delicious they were. But in the conversation, somehow it came out, could you have given us a few more than three cookies? Upon which she said, that was not my intent. Something must have happened on the way to deliver them. The next thing I know, when I got into the house, I got a phone call. I said, okay, the cookies got delivered. But I was also told it was not the number that I had sent to you, with you to the cookies. I tell you that story to say that, first and foremost, we may think that we're getting over, because the thought for me was, well, I did deliver the cookies, I just didn't deliver the amount that was sent to the individual. But I didn't really expect to get checked on, and that she would be very appreciated, whether it was three dozen or three. It's the thought that counts, at least in my mind, I thought. When we look at our lives, and this is one of the reasons why I picked today's title as, Christ has called us out of conflict to be what we could never be on our own. Christmas time is a time in which we find a lot of conflict in our lives, in this world, and things that we are disturbed and troubled by. Personally, I have dealt with 5 funerals since Thanksgiving to the present. The last one being one of our pastors in Winston-Salem, who was called to glory after suffering from cancer for almost 14 years. In fact, it was only one time during that 14 years that was an unscheduled substitute had to prepare and preach the sermon. He didn't miss a Sunday. One of the things that we both shared as cancer survivors during that time was the fact that in the midst of our pain, we know that as we go through these difficult days, we may not always be able to express it to others, but we know that there is a Lord and a Savior and a God who understands the conflict and the pain that we endure. For me personally, his way of dealing with his suffering and pain was not in words, but by his silence and his eyes being closed. And when those waves of pain come over him, he focuses his mind, his spirit, and his heart on the Lord. And after a while of prayer and meditation, he is able to rejoin the conversation and rejoin the reality of what is happening around his life. Besides dealing with physical pain, there's also spiritual pain. There are times in which, rather than look at what is happening around us in our spiritual life and look at a way in which God is again giving us an opportunity to depend on him and to put our hope and trust in him, we tend to do self-indulgence and say, well, maybe God doesn't like me. Maybe it's a way of him punishing me. Maybe it's a way of him showing me my sins, and yet I am to suffer because of them and not see and feel his relief, his grace, and his mercy to deal with my life and to feel them in the way in which they were intended. Sin is not the ultimate judgment. The ultimate judgment is to know God's grace, his mercy, and his peace in our lives. We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But 17 is the one that we need to focus on. That he sent his son not to condemn the world, but to save it. That's why when you look at the Beatitudes, they're not words of condemnation, but they're words of strength. Blessed are when you are poor in spirit, for the Lord doesn't show you how poor you are, but he teaches you and supports you that your ultimate reward is his kingdom in heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. It's not that he's looking for you to suffer in the loss and the pain that you suffer during this time of grief in your lives, but that you know that we will all be comforted. Comforted with the words that the victory is in Christ Jesus. The favorite scripture for me is the one that we hear often and a lot in funeral services, particularly at the gravesite. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? It is in the knowledge and the reception of knowing that Jesus Christ is the power that delivers us into his everlasting arms. I have and continue to be troubled by conversations in which I have with individuals who are concerned about what is going on in this world, in our country, and think that they can be changed by a presidential edict. And I keep reminding them that is not the answer for those who are faithful and put their trust in the Lord that we need to be focusing on. It is always in the knowledge and the power that we receive from our Heavenly Father to again, do not put your hope and wisdom in those things that are man, but to put them in the relationship and the knowledge in which God has given us through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to take us out of this conflict, to lead us out of our turmoil, and to reassure us always that he is the way, the truth, and the life. What a great knowledge that we who know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can be assured that he does his best work to deliver us and to help us is when we put our hope and trust and faith in him. Even in the midst of our conflict, even in the midst of our sadness, as the Beatitudes mention, in our hunger, that our Lord shows mercy to us when we don't feel all that merciful, or when we lack hope, faith, and trust in the world, we can put our hope and faith and trust always in the Lord to know that he is always there to guide, to help, and deliver us. A little later on today, you will be gathering together as a congregation to again continue the process of looking at the servants that God is giving to you to consider as the new shepherd to lead this congregation in the way in which the Lord would want you to go. Now, I'm sure you can put up a lot of obstacles. He's too old. Got too many kids. Got things that he wouldn't come to us because of whatever. But remember, it's not your decision, your wisdom. It is directed by God himself to again to provide ways and means for you to find the way in which you work with whoever that shepherd may be to lead and to guide you in ministry to the world that is still sitting in darkness, that has not experienced his life, his truth, and his joy. Yeah, we could find a lot of obstacles saying, I don't like him. He's too old, too young. He doesn't have enough experience. He's got too much experience. We can put all types of excuses and all type of concerns. But the answer will come from God as you open your heart and say, not what we want, but what God has made available for us to equip us, to serve us, to help us to do a more effective job of sharing the gospel to the world, to this community, to us, our loved ones, our family, our strangers who are in this midst, to help us to see the ministry that the good Lord continues to give to us and provide for us. Remember, we do not stand in this place on our own. One of the things I have always appreciated about Advent being that this is a congregation that came out of nothing and saw the Spirit of God leading you and guiding you to many different places until you came to this facility that was built by some of your hands, that was certainly prayed for by those who are still here and those who have gone to receive their eternal reward. But it continues to remind us that our hope and accomplishments are not based on what we did, and our boasting is not based on what we have achieved, but what the Lord has given to us, has shown to us, and continues to provide for us as we put our hope and trust in him. Yes, let's not be foolish. Let's not think that our strength comes from our own merits or our own accomplishments, but to know even in conflict as well as in times in which we may not always agree, God is powerful. God does continue to lead us. God does continue to strengthen us. My hope and prayer is that you will continue to put your hope, your faith, and trust in the Lord, and to know that through him and only through him shall we always be able to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we continue to give him all honor and praise, and we put our hope and trust always in him. To him be the glory, the praise, and the honor, both now and forevermore. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and the blessing Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be and abide with us forever. Amen.